It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Couple of quick things for you. One, this is from Cody. Hey guys, just wanted to let you know I've been toloing for the last couple of years all the way up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Heck yeah.
I'm a diehard Rangers and Cowboys fan and a bunch of other really nice stuff. Thank you for rocking with us, Cody, all the way up in Canada. Second, this is a question for you guys, then we'll get to the C block, I promise. Whenever you're logging onto a website, anytime there's a pause or it's thinking, do you think that means you got your password right? Because it feels like if you get your password wrong straight away, they're like, no, that's wrong. You're stupid. But if it's right, it feels like there's a long delay and they're like, man, I got to think about it. Maybe. And you're like, yes, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause that's what I think.
I think that's fair. The worst thing though is whenever it's been a long delay and it's like, oh man, we tried to look for every password that would match and you're still wrong, you dummy. And you're like, is my password?
It's hurtful.
It's very Gilbert Arenas. She threw my laptop into the pool. How am I ever going to know what my Netflix password is? I don't know. You just leave it. Most people, what we do is we just say yes. Whenever they say, do you want us to save the password? Just say yes. Or here's what I love about, I don't know if the Android is the same thing. Do you have facial recognition?
No, there's a thing called a passkey on there that's kind of the same
logic. I love that I just kind of point my face at it. Now, what's the problem with it? I'm sure somebody out there is like, this is actually a really poor problem because something's going to happen. From the 682, I'm glad Cody is not in Lose-A-Peg. Yeah, we are happy.
Good point.
He's not
that
there.
That is a good point.
Because they are going to lose first place in the Central Division.
True.
All right.
Now the C block starring Corey Majors.
All right. So here in the C block, there are a lot of things that I want to get to. One being the question that kind of was up there this morning in crosstalk. But Micah Parsons is doing a lot of his conversation with the Cowboys. Steven said he likes to chat. He likes to visit. And I'm interested with you guys and with most people out there. You're dealing with maybe $40 million a year at 4 million or 4 years, $240 million, all right, that you're dealing with here. Are you going to personally want to be involved in every step of the process, or and maybe eventually reach across the table and punch Stephen Jones in the face because he said you weren't that good? Or are you going to say, I hired an agent and I'm paying him 15% or whatever it is to get this done. I will let him do it. Because I can understand a lot of people have had that like mindset of, he's going to screw it up. I'm going to eventually have to fire that guy. Like, I don't know if I trust my agent. But if you hire that guy and it's Muggaletta, like, go with him. Go with him. He's the good one.
I think my personality flaw will come, one of them. There's many. What one of my personality flaws is I'm a control freak. And I think that would come to the forefront here. Because instead of like the agents coming back like, hey, they can't do that. Because I think I would annoy the crap out of my agent and be like, well, did you tell him this? Did you ask him?
And it's
like, I know how to do my effing job, dude. And so like, I think being a control freak would be problematic for me.
But you would need to tell your agent then that too, right? Hey, look, I'm probably going to end up talking to these guys a little bit. I'll bring all the information back to you.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to end up talking to them because I need to. Is how you would approach it? Alec, how do you think you would handle it? Would you just let your agent do his job, or would you say, I know I got to be involved in every conversation and find out as much as I can?
I want to be involved, but I don't want to run the table. You know, that, like you said, the agent gets a big cut of that deal whenever it's done for a reason. And I mean, those negotiations are not easy. Like, I think arbitration in baseball is one of the like most demoralizing things ever in pro sports, because they're literally going to sit there and tell you, hey, you're not as good as this guy. You're not as good as this guy. You're not really that good at doing this, this, and this. So this is why you should get this much less than you think you're worth. And then you have to defend yourself. I think that the agent is the perfect vessel, because they're not going to get emotional in it. They're going to say, all right, you're still wrong, but okay. You know, like, they're going to be straight faced. They're just going to be that perfect middleman, that mediator that you need.
I feel like I need to be there and see that person say no, because I remember every single negotiation that didn't go the way that I thought it fairly should have. Mm-hmm. Like, to this day, I can remember them all. And like, I just keep that
even
in mind.
Even what to have for dinner that
for
night.
For future negotiations. And I want to be like, no, I remember I sat there and you said, well, you're not doing well enough to get this.
And then I did. And now you're telling me I didn't do what you told me I needed to do.
Exactly.
That is interesting, because anyway, I'm probably in the boat where, because I like to believe that everything is kind of like Ballers, and that my agent is my friend and part of my team, and we hang out and stuff. Like, I like to believe that. I like to believe the show is like a part of my family, my extended family. That's how I am. And so I'm probably the dude that's going to, hey, he's got my best interest in mind. That's the reason I signed him, is because I trust him. He's part of the family. He's going to go do that. But then when it gets down to, all right, we've gotten through the minutia, because the minutia is really the little things that you want in all of it. I'm trying to know, what is the future of, how do you see this? How do you see me? What's the plan for me? I want to know those things. I'm probably going to have that conversation at the end of it. I'm going to let them get through all the minutia details of it. And then I'm going to ask them a few questions and then end up closing the deal. Like, that's all right, let's close this thing out. I'm ready for it. And my agent should probably know that too.
Yeah.
But for Micah, this is the conversation he's having with Stephen Jones. This is the conversation he's having with Jerry Jones. He feels connected to them in that way, and he feels like they have his best interest in mind. And he's like, I'll do my part. My agent will eventually give me the paperwork, and that's how I'm going to deal with it. But I feel like Michael wants to know more about what they want to accomplish, and I think that's going to matter to him. I hope that matters to him whenever he's re-signing with this team. Ben McDonald was on Ryan Ripken's show.
Man, I thought Ben McDonald was going to be the next big thing in baseball when I was a kid. I was stocking up on those Upper Deck rookie cards, the star rookie. I thought he was going to dominate.
Had you known that Cal Ripken was doing this, maybe it would have changed your mind.
Chris Hoyles is a young catcher.
Yep.
I was a young pitcher. We're trying to figure this thing out at the highest level you can figure it out. I remember Junior sticking his head in there. Me and Chris were having a couple beers after the game, just beating our head up against the wall, going, golly, are we ever going to get this right? You know, and he sticks his head in there and he goes, you boys don't have a clue of what you're doing, do you? No, sir, Mr. Ripken. And I said, I got no clue at all of what's going on. And he said, He comes and sits down. He pops open a beer like he does, you know, and he goes, would you like some help? I said, is a school bus yellow? Of course I'd like some help. And so he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this triangle, me, Hoyles, and you. I'm going to start calling all your pitches you throw. And I went, are you going to play catcher? And he goes, no, I'm going to call him from shortstop. I was like, how is this going to happen? He said, don't you worry about it. I'll take care of that. So all of a sudden,
Hold on, pause it. That's a damn fine question from Ben McDonald right there.
How are you going to do that?
If Cal Ripken Jr. says, don't you worry about it, then I guess you just go about your business.
He's Cal
like,
freaking Ripken Jr., dude. Okay. He goes up to bat and has 17 batting stances based on the situation. I'm guessing he knows a little bit about this game.
Fair enough. Back to you, Ben.
How is this going to happen? He said, don't you worry about it. I'll take care of that. So all of a sudden, it's so funny. I'm looking in at home plate, getting the signs from Chris Hoyle, and I could see his eyes are looking over my right shoulder where Junior's standing out at shortstop. And the way he held his glove and where he would actually touch, because nobody looks at the shortstop when the ball's coming back to the pitcher. So
right.
Hoyle throws it back, and he could be focusing on Rip, and he's getting the sign and the location. This went on for a full year. Like, 33 starts, he called every pitch I threw the entire year, and we sat down and we talked about it. And then at the end of the year, he came to me and Hoyles, and he goes, you guys are good now.
Wow.
I would like to thank Reginald Atitula for sending me that video. He just was like, hey, man, I think you might find this interesting. And I was like, that is fantastic. Good content. And that's why they call baseball the beautiful game. That is why they've always called baseball the beautiful game. That ticked off Reggie because he loves soccer so much. And I knew it would. And I enjoy ticking some people off sometimes.
I'm kind of looking at some of these numbers, and I'm thinking he should have kept having Cal Ripken Jr. call his pitches.
Okay, great. I'm glad you're doing this. How did that season go for Ben McDonald?
So it looks like, did he say specifically which season it was?
That was his rookie season, I believe.
Okay, so, well, then we're going to need to correct him on a couple of facts.
Okay.
Because his real rookie season was 1990.
All right.
He only had 21 games pitched that year and only 15 starts. But, you know, it was a long time ago. I'll cut him some slack. But he got so much better than the year before.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Or when he only pitched in six games. If you wanted to skip ahead to more when he was throwing.
He said 33 games.
Exactly.
So yeah, okay, here we are at 35 and 92.
And then 93, which 93 was arguably the best year of his career outside of his 1990 season. So if it's his rookie season, like he says, that was probably the second best of his career. Maybe probably the third best. He had a good year in Milwaukee too. And if it was the year he started a bunch of games, well, either way, it looked like the Cal Ripken Jr. effect was doing very right by him.
Yeah, 65 strikeouts, 85 strikeouts, then that huge jump to 158, I think, and then 171. So that's a huge
really thought
difference.
He was going to be awesome.
Yeah, and so that's a huge difference. But again, like you said, it's Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah.
If he's offering the help, well, I'll accept the help. What like really gets to me is, was Cal Ripken Jr., could he have been a pitcher and like called his own game? He was just shortstops where you go. Also, nowadays, that would never happen because there's so much micromanaging and control from these guys. They're like, even the GM wants to micromanage who's pitching and, you know, who's going at what times and stuff like that. It doesn't seem like that would be possible to pull something like that off because somebody's gonna be like, why aren't you calling the pitches that I'm telling you to call?
From the 817, Kevin, do you remember that same set and the Kevin Moss rookie card? All right, I've confessed this to you. I thought Ben McDonald was going to be one of the most awesome things in baseball. I thought Kevin Moss was going to be the best player in baseball. His rookie year, played 79 games, hit 21 home runs. Now, were there a lot of other concerning secondary statistics I should have looked more at? Probably, but I was like 9. And so I was like, well, if he plays twice as many games, which he should, he'll hit 42 home runs next year. Well, he played almost twice as many games the next year, and he hit 2 more home runs. And look, it never quite worked out, but that Kevin Moss 1990 Upper Deck Star rookie, I probably had like at least 20 of those. I thought he was going to dominate as well.
I was terrified when I saw him come up to the plate after like that first start, and his stance was weird too.
Yeah.
And you were like, what's he doing? He's sitting in a chair, but there's no chair.
It just didn't work out.
So that's the Cal Ripken story. And this is my favorite headline that I read yesterday, Kevin. Sweet Chin Music. You guys get that because y'all are wrestling fans.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, exactly. Shawn Michaels and Bret the Hitman Hart. Is that where it started?
Good enough.
All right. Here's the rest of the headline. Soccer ref in Peru delivers a perfect karate kick to a coach's face who tried attacking him with a water bottle. I love headlines.
It's a little wordy, but it's pretty good.
It gets the story out. And I told you, Kevin, go ahead and check out this video because it's worth the watch. This referee is standing there. He made a call. I don't know what the call was. I'll be honest. And the excitement, honestly, that I didn't ask for audio from it, Alec, because the excitement wasn't there. I didn't feel like there was good excitement for the kick.
Oh, dip.
He's standing there making his call. And this dude just comes out of nowhere, just wielding a water bottle like he's going to knock this guy out. And the referee just sticks his foot up in his throat and knocks the guy out.
Okay. All right. It might be the Sweet Chin Music, but the ref also turned a little bit. So it kind of looks like the Sheamus kick.
Oh, okay.
Oh, a broken kick.
Yeah.
So he's ashamed of it?
No, but like the one ref in the background, he sees that this other guy is going to be a problem. That guy is going to throw that bottle at him. I honestly thought it was a yellow card at first that he was going to throw at him. And so then the other ref comes in and he's like, boot, and just knocks that dude to the effing ground.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was a good time.
It helps that it looks like the guy he kicked was about 4'8".
Oh, yeah.
And then it looks like he's ready to get after it with some of these other players. And he's like, no, I'll fight all of you, too. The kick was amazing because that guy was running in. But when the ref starts to run after other players and he's like, you don't want this, that feels like maybe that's too far.
And Kevin, now that I look at the run sheet, I may have stolen what I had planned for the next segment. So
no
problem.
We
got something else we got to do here.
Coming up next, we're like the Boy Scouts. We're always prepared. Pieces of advice for round one of the NFL draft. Will Corey and Alec listen to and abide by these tips next on The Fan?
Tip.
10 to shoot. Russell, no look. Claxton, it's good, and a foul. The Nets are cooking.
Can't fantasy masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. The Mavericks lose to the Nets 113-109. Only six regular season games remaining for the Mavericks as they look to cling to their play-in spot. They'll be back at it tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. Now, we got a lot to go into here. I got college updates for you, also NFL draft guidelines. But first, we go to the Corey News Desk from Micah Parsons News.
All right, this is real quick, and I believe Jane's saying that Jerry was just being Jerry when he said this, but Jerry from Clarence Hill, Jerry with blatant disrespect to Micah Parsons' agent, David Mulligetta, the agent with, quote, "The agent is not a concern here. I don't know his name." Mulligetta is one of the best and most respected agents in the NFL, and I think Jane said Jerry was just being Jerry with that. But
okay.
Micah then quote tweeted Clarence here and said, "Facts. David is the best, and I will not be doing any deal without him involved. Like anyone with good sense, I hired experts for a reason. There is no one I trust more when it comes to negotiating contracts than David. There will be no back doors in this contract negotiation."
All right.
Settle down just a little bit.
Well, there you go.
So that might lead to our brand new segment. Have you ever tried to tell a joke that really went sideways on you and you did not realize how bad this is going to get? Because look, it's pretty much going to turn into Micah Central. I understand that. I understand how people are excited to hear about this. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I kind of think people are excited for this to get done so they can complain about it.
Yes.
Not just so it's done, so they can complain about it. But that's not what you want, right? Even if it was Jerry just being Jerry, if Mike is quote tweeting and been like, "That's for damn sure. No disrespect here." And you're like, "Oh, I was just kidding about that."
I'm glad he's sitting there going, "You go ahead and add a 10% more on top of that."
Yeah. So I had a friend. We're actually still friends to this day. And we went out with one of her friends and we're all hanging out and her friend was the worst. And I was just joking because that's the way I talk. And she goes, "Oh, hey, what did you think of my friend?" And I go, "Oh, my God, I think I hate her." And she goes, "What?" I was like, "Oh, no, I was just." And before I could even finish, she goes, "You hate her? That's one of my best." And it just like it led to a problematic thing where we had to have like a follow up conversation about it. That went very poorly.
You know what? That kind of happened recently with me. I was going with some new friends. And I said, "Hey, this is that band that I was telling you about, by the way." And the guy goes, "Oh, yeah, it's terrible." And I was like, "Oh, man, dang, dude, this is my friend's band and everything." And he goes, "Oh, no, that's how we talk in our family. Whenever we like something, we just say that's terrible and we joke about it all the time." And his wife was like, no, he's being serious. Like, we actually do that all the time. And I was like, "Oh, well, okay."
All right, so I'm going to read one more and then give Alec a shot, and then we're going to read the one that's going to end this conversation. From the 469, bad joke that backfired. "Hey, Nico, would you ever trade?" Alec, do you want a shot at this, or do you want me to read the one that will end this conversation?
I want you to read the one that's going to end the conversation.
From the 940, "I made a your mom joke to a girl when I was in high school."
Holy crap.
"She claimed that her mom had been brutally murdered when she was a baby. I called BS. She looked up the news story and it all checked out. I felt like an idiot." Oh my gosh. Yep. That's when you just move on. And
well, I hope she never meets MJF.
Yes. Oh, did you tell that story?
He played
on
it. I okay. played the audio.
Oh, I tweeted goodness. It too, Alec, on the radio. If you want to hear what MJF said about my late mother,
here's the thing about that, Alec. I'm glad you have a great sense of humor, and you did ask, knowing who the guy was, for him to say something rude, and it just went a little further than I think any of us expected.
Now we're gonna get to draft pointers, but I promise you college sports updates, I have them for you. We'll get to Coastal Carolina in just a second. But in the meantime, the Texas women's basketball team, they defeated TCU, had already made their longest run ever in the tournament. And so the Texas women's basketball team victorious over TCU. They make their first Final Four since 2003.
Congratulations.
Man, I thought it was more recent than that, but that's what the Associated Press and the Dallas Morning News say.
When was the last time the UT men's team got there?
Oh, I really should know the app. 2002?
2002.
I don't know.
That's... And they still haven't gotten there.
I was one.
Oh, okay.
There you go. 2001.
Now, update. Coastal Carolina. And you know this is real because they actually put out a follow-up that it was not an April Fool's joke.
Okay.
So they said, we're going to have free concessions for fans at all of our college football games. And again, they followed up. This is not an April Fool's joke, even though they put it out yesterday, which that feels like that would be ill-timed either way. But they're going to feature free concessions at Brooks Stadium as part of their Coastal Carolina kickoff meal deal.
Congratulations to them.
Would you go to a football game for a team you didn't really care about if you knew they had free food?
Yes.
Okay.
Look, if there's anything I learned from college, it's that free food's important. If you're a college kid and you hear free food in something hall, I am trying to come up with one right now. You're running to that place before the food's gone. That's just the way it is.
Media people are like that too.
I think that just stuck with me ever since then. Like since then, I've just been like, hey man, if there's free food around, go take advantage of it if you can.
Now, the NFL or NFL.com more specifically put out one piece of advice for teams drafting in round one. So one piece of advice from each one of these reporters. And I wanted to throw a few of them out there and see if you agree.
Okay.
And you will take this piece of advice or not. Are you ready?
No.
Okay. Well, Alec, I hope you're ready.
Yes.
Then. This is a very deep defensive line class. So do not be afraid to draft multiple defensive linemen in the first 100 picks. I know. You're like, oh, we just took a defensive line. Can't take it. No. It's a deep defensive line draft. Do not be afraid of doubling up on defensive linemen in the first 100 picks.
I'm perfectly okay with it, especially if you need it. And that's that conversation of, hey, man, how good are we on offense because what we did in free agency? Do we need defense? Yes, you probably do. And a defensive line, just because you have this guy that you drafted in the first round doesn't mean you can't add another dude that's a first-round pick right next to him. Look at the Eagles, dude. Look at their defensive line, how important that was to them. So, yes, if you believe that those guys are going to be studs for you, you'd get them.
Now, I've got a couple of quarterback questions for you for the Cleveland Browns or suggestions. Hey, you're not competing with the elite of the elite in the AFC with Shedeur Sanders, okay? But could you have one of the best defenses in the AFC if you drafted Abdul Carter?
Yeah.
Because you get to pair him up with Myles Garrett
and
let it go wild.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I mean, I feel like they're pretty good in the middle there, too. Now, obviously, their offense is their biggest problem. Their offense wears that their own defense out because 2 years ago, whenever they were able to run the ball at will, they felt really comfortable there. They haven't been quite as capable with Stefanski since Nick Chubb's injury. Like when Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were going, dude, they were strong.
Yeah.
And that was able to make the Browns defense. It gave them a lot of breath because they were longer drives. Now, obviously the scoring was smaller, but it was longer drives and a more potent defense. Right now, you got to figure out what you're going to do on that side of the ball so that you can be stronger there so your offense can be better.
Alec, will you take this next suggestion? Build your team first, then get your quarterback. All right. And the reason why I bring that up is because six of the teams in the top 10, you could argue, and in some places, it's just a fact. Tennessee, Cleveland, the Giants, Vegas, the Jets, and New Orleans need a quarterback. There ain't that many quarterbacks for the taking in the top 10. At best, there are two. And at best, there are three first-rounders, or three logical first-rounders. I guess I should change it up and say, will you take the advice of, hey, let's build our team, and then we'll get our quarterback?
I feel like it's kind of tough to build your team without the quarterback, right? Isn't it going to be hard to convince people to come to your team via free agency? And then if you trade for a guy on an expiring deal and say, hey, we promise we're going to get a quarterback. We know we don't have one right now, but we will.
But what if I have all of the money?
See, money does talk.
To entice you to come over because I didn't waste it or spend it on the quarterback yet.
See, I say all of that, and then a team that comes to mind super recently, the Washington Commanders. Feels like they built that team.
Yes.
They drafted the perfect quarterback for that system, who is just a wildly talented player in and of himself. Yeah, I'm at this rate, for some of these lower echelon teams that do have the cap space opening up, it does make sense to go and add and add and add. And then you say, okay, we think we're ready to compete now. Let's go ahead and plug and play with a young quarterback on a cheap contract. Sure, why not?
My next piece of advice, will you follow it?
Can I add one thing to that? Jobs matter when building that, though. And Broda says this all very frequently. GMs are very tied to quarterbacks. GMs are very tied to, and the patience that an owner has for
that's
you.
Fair.
They want that quarterback so they can see the future. When you're sitting there going, no, my vision is build first, because I'm with you. I would do that. But the owner wants to see the future of the quarterback.
So maybe the best way to do that is if you've already had success.
Yes.
And they're like, hey, I'm going to give you a little bit
then
more time.
You can do what you want. Yeah.
All right. While this is a really deep draft, it is not necessarily a high-end talent draft.
Okay.
Because I think people will say, whether it's safety, defensive line, there are a lot of super deep positions in this draft. Did I say safety? All right, don't worry about that. Defensive line, let's focus on that. Don't allow a potential superstar like Ashton Jeanty to slide out of the top 10.
Agree.
Will you follow that same advice?
Yeah. I think people overthink these things way too much based on positional value. If you think he is a top-tier player, you take the top-tier player. Just do it. You've seen other teams do it in the past. You know, some of the really good teams end up doing that. You know, I think of, at least in my opinion, Detroit, when they took Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best player left at that point in the draft. You know, and people were like, but he's a running back. It's like, no, he's a damn good player. And look how good he's been for them.
Now,
he's a playmaker.
That actually
he's a game breaker.
That's true. And obviously, great decision for them to go ahead and take him at a time when I also thought that was too high to take him. I will admit I was in the wrong category on that. All right. Since there is so much depth in this draft, my next bit of advice, this is not the year to trade up.
Agree.
Because I know a lot of people are going to say, like, let's say you get to 12. Oh, the Cowboys should trade down or this or that. And I'm not saying you don't do that if you trade down, but I wonder if there'll be as many people wanting to move up in this draft.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy staying where I am or trading down. I'm perfectly happy with that this year because there's so much depth at so many different positions that I need. Every team's a little bit different, but I'm very happy with that. Kevin, somebody said if you build first, you won't have a high enough pick for a quarterback. I just showed you the study.
Yeah.
Now, that granted, a study also shows for Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that top first rounders are usually the way to go there.
Sure.
But the study has shown that there are more misses in the first round. So maybe if you're just really good at understanding what the quarterback is, that'll help you a little more. But I am there, Kevin, with the ice. I'm staying where I am at 12. I don't know exactly. If I'm trading up, it's going to be second round, third round. I'm going to move around in those rounds right now.
Now, this one's really interesting. Don't assume a player can only do what they did in college. Now, this can be dangerous because obviously we've expressed some complaints when the Cowboys have done this. But for example, Walter Nolan lined up between the guards at Ole Miss, but he flashed when he was a heads-up defender against offensive tackles. And like, you can take a look at the same thing at Ohio State. If you have your wide receiver in the slot because they have Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jeremiah Smith, that doesn't mean that that receiver couldn't line up at that position as well. This feels like a tough balance between I think you can do this versus I have seen you do this on tape in college.
There's a few positions that always seems to be the case. Like, I don't know why in my mind, it's probably not even true, but it feels like every 2 or 3 years, there's a school like Alabama that puts out a defensive back that, like, he played safety, but he's going to be an NFL corner. You know, he never played corner in college, but he's going to be a corner. Just trust us. They end up drafting him, switching positions, and it works out perfect. It feels like that happens every 3-4 years or so, and you see it with the defensive line too. Like, he played a lot of linebacker, but man, he can get home to the pass rusher because he is an athlete. just trust us. We're going to do that. So, yeah, I do think that you need to be open-minded with some of these guys and say, look, even with quarterbacks like Jackson Dart, like I think he could be in the right system, a really good NFL quarterback. You have to realize he's not limited to his college tape.
With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Doing pretty good, Hagee. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you for asking. Now, we were talking about this in the break. Broadus, do you think Texas A&M doesn't pay any money because Buzz Williams has been hired as Maryland's new coach when their previous coach, Kevin Willard, felt like he complained a lot
the whole tournament.
Yeah, about Maryland's pay scale.
I never learned anything about Maryland's basketball team. I learned how crummy Maryland's basketball NIL money and everything else to go with it. So I wonder, was he just, and it seemed like he had a great relationship with his players and a great relationship with the Aggie fan base.
It really did. And it was weird. I had a feeling it might go this way because as soon as Willard moved to Villanova and the Maryland job became open, people were like, look out for Buzz to go take that. And then now you hear that today he's signed a deal to become the Maryland's next head coach. So apparently they paid him enough money.
Well, I think
Does that mean A&M's doing it right?
I think, you know, Maryland has a great basketball history, you know, with Gary Williams. I mean, you could go way back
for
to
sure.
this, this program, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so the thing with it, it was just so strange to hear. And it got to the point where Willard was even, they asked him a question about the basketball program, where you're at. And he then went into this, well, we've got to stop this guy, you know, we've got to stop. If we don't stop this guy, then we're going to have a lot of problems. We've got, you know, he went into like, I'm here to answer basketball questions, where the previous game you were here to kind of say that Maryland's basketball program is in the dark ages.
Yeah.
And it's always, it was just like, and you think that Buzz Williams, who, you know, these coaches like, and Dawson and the right, they've always, you know, they were always telling me, hey, the coaches, they could leave anytime and no loyalty, da, 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 da. I'm like, you know, don't say that.
Ah.
Sure. That's what we've got now. If players are going to leave, these coaches are going to leave, you know, and that's going to be it. But man, it was fascinating to hear a Maryland coach, former coach, just completely rip the program. He takes a job, and then a guy who I thought was doing a really good job just says, yeah, I'll go take that mess. I think Buzz is trying to stay ahead of getting fired.
And
that's what coaches do.
And the other thing I was wondering is because they had a lot of older players on this team, like by college basketball standards, and so they're going to lose a whole bunch of folks. I wonder if he's like, hey, if I'm ever going to leave, now's the time to leave with a lot of my players graduating.
I mean, you guys, everybody in my family went to A&M, and you support A&M, and but you guys got money.
Well, you have lots of money.
If it came down to, okay, we need NIL money, I could think I could get that at Texas A&M. And with Maryland, I'm not so sure. I mean, not listening to the Willard talk about it. Maybe they just said, listen, we're not giving you any money.
Because it feels like you could make an argument that Texas and Texas A&M probably have the most on-demand NIL money. Like if they were like, hey, I want it, I need it, so will you give me the money?
It feels that way.
In theory. I guess maybe that's not how it works.
I've never seen Texas A&M people say no.
Yeah.
I've been to those dinners with my dad where it was $20,000 a table, you know, and Jackie Sherrill standing up there and like, hey guys, this is how you help me in recruiting. Just give me your money. And everybody's like, yay, Jackie, yay.
Take my money.
And I go, really? And dad's like, yeah, you should clap. Start clapping. I'm like, I'm not clapping for that crap. You know, but anyway, but that's A&M has always been in the forefront of giving money.
Maybe this guy's scared of the SEC and just how dominant it is or was this season.
Hey, yeah.
And then quality of life, maybe just geographically. He's like, you know what? I like the cuisine.
He's a big soft shell crab guy.
Absolutely.
Likes Old Bay. Right,
yeah.
100% it is. It's a great point, Corey.
And look, I've seen people texting this in already. Let's go get Chris Beard. There's a source out there that was like, hey, maybe it's because they didn't want to match the number because they're like, we can go get Chris Beard for that number. So maybe that's going to be
maybe so
the next move. I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah.
Corey, you look very serious.
2-on-4 athletes don't want to go to A&M naturally. I feel like there have been some players.
I think that's you know
proven pretty inaccurate.
Has to be an unnatural desire.
I feel like that was always a hard. I know with LSU and recruiting against A&M, if it was down to LSU and A&M, we were probably going to lose a kid to A&M.
Yeah,
there's a lot of kids that want to go to school there. Matter of fact, I think it's now up to where their population for females is over the male side of things there at the university.
Oh.
I think that's one of the universities that. They have more females than males.
Isn't that Texas Tech as well?
I think there's some universities in Texas that are trending that way, and A&M might be one of them. Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder how much, I mean, I'm sure the answer's not, it's not, but how much they talk about that, like in these meetings and stuff, and they're like, hey.
You got a 3-to-1.
Absolutely.
That's a huge selling point.
Absolutely do. I mean, and I back in an era in recruiting where it wasn't NIL, we were illegally recruiting kids with money, you know,
T-A-I-L.
Yeah, we were. Sorry. We were.
But we exactly, I like that a lot.
Exactly. But yeah, we were. You'd walk kids around on campus.
Yeah,
and you could just naturally see. You know, TCU's that way too. You could walk kids around at TCU, and you're like, they're like, wow, there's a lot of female suits. Yeah, every day. Yeah.
I was thinking about He Got Game or even blue chips on the recruiting trail when it comes to stuff like that. I'm sure people are like, it's not that bad. And then other people will watch it and be like, oh, yeah, that's more spot on.
Man, there was some fun times recruiting with when you just had to be those guys at SMU in the 80s. Gosh, I'd love to have lunch with those guys.
Yeah.
And talk how they did it because they had a great plan. Until what happened is one guy turned on him. And that's all it takes. But
the one guy,
and that they all denied it. But there was nobody there to say, well, you know, find out what happened then. Find out what happened here. And they did a great job of hiding that.
He had the check stubs to prove it.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit, I was a little alarmed earlier today when we talked with Bruce Bochy. And he was like, hey, probably 10 days away from soft toss. And you still can't rule out 60-day IL for Cody Bradford. Mm. Were you guys surprised by that? It felt like, because we kept asking, like, if the scans are clear or there's positive news, why are we still so far away? And so, Bochy, as he usually does, gave an excellent explanation of it, but.
Because I don't owe you any explanation?
I thought he asked you questions, Kevin.
The crux of it was, let's do everything we can to make sure we don't have to have surgery. Yeah. And if we have to have surgery, then we'll, but let's do everything we can to get there.
These folks aren't interested in talking to us about injuries.
Yeah. That's not fair.
They'll talk to you all day about things, but they when you bring up injuries, they're, nah.
It alarmed me a little bit. Did that?
Well, if he has to have surgery, then yeah, it's massively alarming.
Yeah.
Then he's done.
But the fact that that's even being talked about, it's not like a surefire, hey, this just needed a couple of weeks to settle down a little bit. He'll be back better than ever.
Yeah.
There's still question marks about what this is all going to look like. So yeah, that's a huge bump.
But just a weird backtrack from a week ago. Not even. You were there for opening day and supposedly there was positive news. So I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe there was something negative.
It genuinely does seem like there's some gray area on these where they're not sure if you need it. And
they give a little bit of time.
And they're like, oh, but actually, this isn't good. You know.
The line typically is anytime you're dealing with an elbow or in the forearm. And then that's when they're like, yeah, that once they say that, it's like anytime you're dealing with this, we be as cautious as we possibly can.
And did you like the bold decision from The Athletic to put the Rangers at third in their power rankings? They jumped from 10-3 at 3-2.
That was definitely before last night's game.
Yeah. It was not.
You put that list together.
No, it was not.
Nope.
It included last night's game.
I refuse to believe that.
Yeah.
Last night just absolutely
made you change the whole part of the season.
It took the wind out of my sails a little bit. I'm like, wow. So the pitching can be this bad and the offense can be this bad. We now know how bad it can be. We're going to need some runs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Agreed.
I mean, fingers crossed on that. But with my other fingers, I'm dialing 1-800-BULLPEN. Hey,
you. Oh, okay.
I was thinking about you last
we're
night.
We're flip-flopping again.
Who's this Garabito guy? Why is he on the team? Let's go.
He should be a starter, actually.
All right. It sounds like.
Great two nights ago.
This could be a flip-flop edition of the G-Bag Nation. What else we got coming up?
It always is. We do have Jack Leiter coming up at 2:20. God knows how to get it done.
Mm. All right, roll home.
Anchor down.
With the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow. An exhaustive show tomorrow. 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll try to smash extra segments into the other segments. Or maybe just the first part.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin. You've been masterpiece. Go get Rangers.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.